Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson, where we're going to stack kick weight and jungle swing in a way that actually feels like drum and bass, not just a loop with a bit of shuffle on it. The goal here is simple, but the execution is where the magic is. We want a kick foundation that hits hard, stays tight, and leaves room for the bass, while still carrying that loose, broken, jungle-style movement. So this isn't just about making a bigger kick. It's about building a kick that feels alive inside the groove. Let's start with the mindset. In this style, think in rolls, not just layers. One kick layer gives you the front edge, the punch, the transient. The other gives you body, low-end mass, and that sense of weight. If one layer tries to do both jobs, things get foggy fast. And in drum and bass, fog is the enemy. Open a new Live 12 set and set the tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. That's the classic zone where the groove feels fast, but there's still enough space for swing to breathe. At this tempo, tiny timing moves matter a lot. A kick that feels a little late can actually feel perfect, so don't judge this like a slower genre. The pocket lives in the details. Create a MIDI track for your kick stack, another MIDI track for hats and percussion, and if you want to go a little further, leave room for a break loop later on. Even if you're building a modern rolling DNB loop, having that option to bring in a chopped break later can instantly add jungle DNA. Now let's pick the kick sources. You want two samples with different jobs. The first one should be the punch kick, something with a sharp attack, maybe a click or knock in the upper mids, but not a huge subtail. The second one should be a weight kick, something with more low-end body and a cleaner, shorter top. If you only have one sample, you can duplicate it and process it differently. But two different sources usually give you a cleaner result. Drop a drum rack onto the MIDI track and place each kick on its own pad. For example, one pad is your punch, the other is your weight. Then trigger them from the same MIDI note so every hit fires both layers together. That's the key here. You're not making two separate parts. You're building one kick instrument from two parts. Now line them up carefully. Zoom in on the waveform and make sure the transients hit at the same sample start point. If one sample has a slower attack, you may need to nudge it a little earlier. The aim is for both layers to feel like one event, one strike, one physical hit. If they arrive at different times, the kick will feel soft, even if each sample sounds good on its own. On the punch layer, keep your processing focused on clarity. Start with EQ8. High pass any useless rumble below about 25 to 30 Hz. Dip a bit in the muddy 200 to 400 Hz area if needed, and if the kick needs more definition, a small boost around 2 to 4 kHz can help it read on small speakers. Then add saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip-on. Keep it tasteful. You want the kick to speak, not scream. If it needs a little more edge, drum bus can help, but use it lightly. The punch layer should feel like attack and definition, not weight. On the weight layer, the job is different. Here, use EQ8 to tame the click range, usually somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz, and focus on the fundamental. In a lot of DNB kicks, that body lives somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz, depending on the sample and key. Add saturator again, a bit more aggressively if needed, because a little saturation can make the low end read better on smaller systems. Then a gentle compressor can help smooth the tail if it's spiky. Keep this layer mono with utility. If the low end is even slightly wide or facey, it can cause problems later, especially once the bass comes in. Now glue the stack together on the drum rack group or the track itself. A glue compressor with a slowish attack and a quick or auto release can bind the layers without crushing them. You're only looking for a dB or two of gain reduction, just enough to make the kick feel like one solid object. Follow that with a tiny corrective EQ if necessary, maybe a little dip if it booms too much, maybe a small presence lift if it needs to cut through. Then use utility again to check mono compatibility and keep the whole kick centered. At this point, the kick should sound like one sound, not two samples stacked on top of each other. That's the first big checkpoint. If the kick already feels wrong in solo, don't assume the groove will save it. It won't. Fix the source first. Now let's program the groove. Start with a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI clip. In DNB and jungle, the kick pattern should have push and pull. It shouldn't just sit on the downbeat like a house loop. Try placing a strong kick on beat 1, maybe an extra kick on them off beat or they have 1, then another strong anchor around beat 3, and a syncopated pickup before the end of the bar. The exact pattern is less important than the feeling. Some hits are locked, some hits are leaning forward, and some hits are almost answering the main ones. This is where swing comes in, but not just from groove pool alone. Yes, you can drag a groove onto the clip and start with an MPC-style swing template. A small amount of timing, maybe 10 to 25%, can give the groove a little looseness. Keep random low and use velocity shaping a little too, but the real jungle feel comes from your hands. Manually nudge some offbeat notes slightly late for drag, and push some ghost notes slightly early for urgency. Anchor the main downbeat hits firmly, then let the supporting notes breathe around them. That contrast is what creates motion. Now add ghost notes. This is one of the fastest ways to turn a straight loop into something that feels like it has a drummer behind it. Put in a few very quiet kick hits between the main hits. Make some of them very soft, maybe in the 20 to 55 velocity range, while the main kick stays strong and the support hits sit somewhere in the middle. In Ableton Live 12, use the velocity lane and draw these by hand. Don't let every note be the same height. Variation is groove. Now build the hat and percussion layer. Put closed hats on the offbeats, maybe a shaker or a rim for light movement, and if you want a classic jungle touch, sneak in some ghost percussion around the kick phrasing. Bypass the hats and perks, so they stay out of the low end, add just a touch of saturation if they need grit, and keep any transient shaping subtle. You want the hats to sit slightly behind the kick, almost like they're breathing around it. Here's a really important point. The kick and the bass need to work together. In drum and bass, this is the relationship that makes or breaks the track. Set up sidechain compression on the bass using the kick stack as the trigger. You don't need extreme pumping. A fast attack, moderate release, and just enough gain reduction to make room is usually enough. If the bass is very active, volume automation or carefully shaped envelopes can help too. The idea is not to make the bass disappear. It's to give the kick its own moment to speak. Now check the low end in context. Soloing the kick is useful, but it's not the final test. The real test is how the kick lands against the bass note onset. Sometimes a kick feels late only because the bass is speaking too early. Sometimes the bass feels weak only because the kick tail is too long. Use spectrum and your ears. If the kick is masking the bass, shorten the weight layer, trim some tail, or carve a tiny pocket in the bass around the kick's main frequency. In this style, kick and bass should feel like one system. If you want to push the jungle feeling even further, layer a chopped break underneath. Keep it lower in the mix than you think. Let it add motion and texture, not clutter. Filter it, compress it lightly, maybe add a little drum bus for character, but don't let it steal the spotlight from the kick stack. The kick still needs to be the strongest low-end vent. Now think about arrangement. Don't just loop this forever. Build energy in sections. A simple approach is to start with an 8-bar intro where the kick is filtered and sparse. Then move into a full 16-bar drop, where the bass enters and the groove locks in. After that, introduce a variation section, where you remove a kick, change a hat rhythm, or add a little extra break slicing. Then bring in a second drop with a slightly different kick tone, more ghost hits, or a dirtier processed version of the same pattern. The point is to evolve the groove without just making everything louder. A few advanced moves can really help. Try swapping kick personalities between sections, maybe a tighter punch in the intro, a deeper and fatter kick in the drop, and a dirtier, more clipped version in the second drop, or create answer kicks, where one strong hit is followed by a quieter delayed response hit. That call and response feeling is very jungle without needing a full break everywhere. You can also vary the swing amount by phrase. Keep the first 4 bars more restrained, loosen the next 4, tighten it again later, then make the final section the most animated. Even better, reshape the velocity curve every few bars so the loop feels like it's evolving. And every so often, remove a note completely. A little subtraction creates more impact than constant addition. When it comes to sound design, don't overdo grit. It's tempting to keep adding saturation, clipping, or distortion, because you want the kick to feel hard. But too much can flatten the groove and smear the swing. Add just enough edge that the kick reads on laptop speakers and in a club. If you want extra aggression, try parallel dirt on a return track with amp, saturator, EQ, maybe it a little redux, and blend it in quietly. That can give you attitude without destroying the clean core of the kick. One really useful habit is to a slash B in context every few edits. Solo is fine for surgery, but the full arrangement tells the truth. Keep checking the kick against hats, bass, and any break layer. Ask yourself, does the kick still feel like one solid sound? Does it have weight without swallowing the groove? Does the bass still breathe? That's the standard. For a great practice exercise, build a 16-bar loop with a 2-layer kick stack, a swing groove, at least 3 ghost kick notes, some manual timing changes, a hat or percussion layer with humanized placement, and sidechained bass. Keep it heavy, but not bloated. Make it feel more jungle than straight techno. Then loop it for a while and see if it still works after the novelty wears off. If it keeps moving after 5 minutes, you've got something real. So let's recap the core workflow. Build a two-layer kick stack with one layer for transient punch and one for body. Align the layers tightly and keep the kick mostly mono. Shape each layer differently with EQ, saturation, compression, or drum bass, and glue the stack lightly as a unit. Then create jungle swing with manual timing, velocity variation, ghost notes, and groove pool in moderation. Lock the bass to the kick with sidechain compression, and arrange the section so it develops over time rather than looping endlessly.